Chapter 1. Segmentum Solar. Rimwood Sectors. How could it have come to this? There was little in the way of historical precedent. Invaders announced their intentions with armies and armadas. Some drifted with cruel patience across the void, while others arrived on the edge of our systems with their vessels still frosted from the warp. All were outsiders. They were savage or unreasoning, insatiate or cold in their calculations. They observed humanity's expansion through alien eyes and fought to check its advance. The Imperium became an empire encroached, with the Xenos biting at the borders. Alien aggressors took virgin territory a piece at a time, or relived histories long past by retaking the ground of their ancients. These were the trials of humanity in a vast and hostile galaxy. That was before the coming of the Beast. Early indications of the calamity to come were lost in the devotions and industry of teeming billions. Across hundreds of worlds, Imperial citizens went about the drudgery of their existence and servitude, ignorant of the fact that they were being addressed across the void. At first, the noise bursts were swallowed by the vox static of stars and background radiation. They struggled to make themselves known above the sublight rumble of charter shipping and the ethereal boom of merchant fleets translating in and out of system. They were lost in the cannon fire of Imperial Navy frigates, engaging pirate fleets on the fringes of frontier space. They were drowned in the industrial undertakings of planetary forges and hive worlds, in the hymnals echoing about mighty cathedrals and the riotous misery of swarming humanity. As the noise bursts grew louder and more intense in their infrasonic insistence, the Imperium came to hearken to the herald of their doom. The listeners heard it first, those whose minds and ears were already open. A Navy listening post in the Orobian Belt. The vox operators of the 41st Thranxian Rifles on the jungle moon of Bosk. The Isle 11 Telepathica Corral beacon at Cantalus. The rogue trader Ostrogal operating under a lineal letter of marque in the Wraith Stars. The Ostrogal was authorized to prey on the ghost ships of the Zartan craft world, but had discovered that the Xenos had mysteriously moved out of the segmentum. Credit for the official recognition of the phenomenon on the inner rim was shared, however. At the same time, the Divisio Linguistica adept Mobian Ortrex isolated the content of the noise bursts on the Arc Mechanicus vessel Singularity, Sister Emeritus Astrid of the Scholar Lexicon translated a vox capture of the anomaly at the Mount Nisai Seminarium. They swiftly and separately came to the same conclusion and communicated their findings to Imperial authorities across the Rimwood sectors with equal urgency. What sounded like the kind of belly thunder that might erupt from a carnivorous death world predator was in fact a savage Xenos vernacular, a barbaric decree from a tyrant species hollowed impossibly across the void. The words were raw and delivered like a barrage of artillery, but they were unmistakably greenskin. The broadcast assumed myriad forms, although certain linguistic patterns were the most repeated. The translation was crude, but compelling. Amongst the barbaric abandon of mindless monstrosity, the being announced itself as the Slaughter to Come and the Beast. It was beside itself with brutality and promised blood for blood, an end to weakling empires and the stench of oblivion. As the Rimwood sectors of the Segmentum Solar would come to understand, the Beast made good on its promises. The noise burst spread. Within a few Terran standard weeks, the 6 outlying systems reporting the phenomenon became 60. In mere days, it became 600. The Beast spoke, the people listened. What had previously been distant thunder, unacknowledged and ignored, broke above the heads of the Emperor's subjects. Across the worlds of the Rimwood sectors, the mind-splitting roar of the Beast became everything. Humanity could not function. People could not work. They could not sleep. They could not think. Schedules were disrupted. Tithes went unmet. Order began to slip from the Imperium's gauntleted grasp. Millions descended into madness. The grim rigidity of humanity's tyrannized existence, harsh and imbalanced as it was, actually served to protect the masses from the threat of the outsider. Most imperial citizens had never set foot outside their habsteads or districts, let alone left their homeworlds. Apart from a small number of surviving veterans from the Astra Militarum, very few people had actually seen a member of a Xenos race. So when the unbridled rage of an alien monstrosity unfolded in their minds, many simply didn't have the mental fortitude to hold on to their sanity. Amid the collapse of structures and the riotous descent of planets into chaos, there were some who heard the beast reach out to them, and they reached back. Something repressed and downtrodden found expression in the alien rancor. Unlike the God Emperor, who, apart from in the chapel and catechism, seemed strangely absent from the life of the average imperial, the beast was there. Its fury was present between their temples. It echoed about their streets. It rumbled through the void above their homeworlds. It didn't take long for shrines to be defaced and missions to be torched, as the faithless found their way to a nihilistic comfort in the doom to come. There is power in words, but more so in deeds. The beast made a shocking impression on the billions of the Rimwood sectors with its roaring menace. But then came the gravity storms. If the beast's emerging acolytes desired more evidence of the being's almighty power, they needed to look no further than its unseen mastery of destructive force. While the auger banks of sprint traders, research stations, and fabricator moons detected and monitored the gravitic anomalies afflicting the segmentum margins, many only came to know of their presence through the cataclysmic events unfolding about them. The Angelini Hub dockyards, a modern wonder of the Imperium, orbiting the great mercantile world of Corsicus IV like a belt, simply shattered. An endeavor that had taken more than 1,000 years to engineer and accrete drifted off into the void in splintered fragments, along with the bodies of the million or so merchant traders and their families that called the Angelini Hub home. For the common Imperial citizen, there was no explanation for such a tragedy. Mechanicus adepts and the Hub's naval security had next to no idea what had caused the gravity storm. For most, it was simply a demonstration of the beast's power and potential. On the low-gravity world of Igilia, where the lofty towers of Schola and Universitae reached for the heavens and pierced the clouds, the anomaly wreaked havoc. The Collegia world passed through an erupting gravity well, causing the planet to violently wobble. Like a slow-motion hollow-picked, the forest of high towers, spires and belfries came crashing down on the ancient colleges and institutes below. Within minutes, the cloud-piercing skyline had become a dust-cloaked silhouette of finely crafted rubble. World after decimated world fell before the might of the gravity storms. Fenimore had the misfortune of orbiting the gas giant 88 Clavia. Usually, the inhabitants of the moon enjoyed the sight of the giant's beautiful ring system in their sky. After the anomaly tore through the delicate arrangement, however, death rained down on Fenimore from above. Shards of ice and long-shattered shepherd moons sliced down through the thin skies and cut the screaming population to bloody ribbons. As the world turned, night became day, and the dawn ushered in the Razor Storm. On the fortress world of Brigantia III, General Milus Montague of the 47th Heavy Columbus had 2 million Imperial Guardsmen amassing for a push on the Zodiac's Rift, including honoured regiments of the Faxatine of Foot and Drunian Longshanks. The sparse systems of the Rift had become a petri dish of alien infestations, the Hrud, the Nulia, and the Chromes. The Xenos filth lived to spread their contagion another day, however. As something colossal attempted to break through into the reality of the Brigantia system, the fortress world trembled and then succumbed to unseen and unimaginable gravitic pressures. Despite its bastions, armor formations, and millions of guardsmen, Brigantia III had no defense against the intrusion of another world. The planet exploded. As gargantuan chunks of fortress world rocketed away, demolishing the flotillas of super-heavy troop transports and Navy escorts waiting to receive General Montague Zodiac's crusade force in orbit, another planet had taken its place. A small, black moon, one of many appearing throughout the sectors of the Inner Rim, like bad omens. Amongst the calamitous roaring of the beast and the gravitic disasters afflicting worlds, these unnatural satellites materialized across the Rimward sectors. The heralds of catastrophe, they ripped through reality to take their place among the ornamental orbs of busy Imperial systems. Some were black, like coal, eating up the light reflected off nearby stars and planets. The surfaces of others were a collage of wreckage and plating, rusted into an armored shell. The rock monstrosity above Arx II Anterion bore a colossal clan glyph painted across its ugly face, while the attack moon rising over the desert world of Sanveen was a mechanical horror, a patchwork metal skull grinning down on the doomed Imperial citizenry with alien drollery. Praxidis Prime was one of the first recorded worlds to experience the attack moon's gargantuan weapons. Gravity beams struck the shrine world's surface, chewing through the sovereign city-states and tearing temples, basilicae, and cathedrals violently skywards. Light years away, Port Oberon, a fleet base situated near a busy subsector ether nexus, was pulverized. Colossal rocks, meteorites, and planetary chunks vomited forth from gaping launch craters in the pockmarked surface of a materializing attack moon, smashed through stationary sentry cruisers and fleeing merchant shipping. The worst was to come, however. As well as rocketing projectiles and graviton beams, the attack moons unleashed plagues of ramshackle gunships, salvage hulks, and rammers that enveloped escaping vessels in a web of grapnels and gunfire. Survivors on victim worlds climbed out from the wreckage of demolished cities, their eyes fixed on the slaughter above and the attack moons glowering down on them. They watched until their skies grew black, black with the swarms of descending rocks, landers, and green skin capsules. Oblivion beckoned. This was not the first time the Inner Rim had suffered green skin attacks. In recent memory, the Archfiend of Erswine had led its invasion into subsector Borodino. The orcs poured into the Grange worlds like a green tide. Their decimation of the agri-world crops and tenders brought the nearby hive world of Quora Coronis to the brink of starvation. It took the best part of a decade for the Coronida 3rd through 9th indentured and the Royal Borodino Blues to drive the Archfiend and its splintering horde back to its degenerate empire. The beast was not the Archfiend of Erswine, however. The Archfiend's invasion force, while a savage sea of green into which Imperial worlds went to die, were mere runts compared to the beast's hulking monsters. Amongst the beast's countless number, the Erswine orcs would have been trampled underfoot. Even the greatest of the Archfiend's brutes, perhaps even the Archfiend himself, would have been lost in the shadow of the beast's invader savages. The puniest of the beast's monsters were small mountains of muscle, standing snaggled jaw and shoulder over other orcs. Striding through the mobs and madness were greater beasts still, towers of tusk, green flesh and ferocity, like gargants or giant effigies of green-skinned gods brought to life. These hulks carried colossal weapons that demolished buildings at a single strike, and monstrous guns that mangled infantry and tank formations with equal bloody ease. This was the gift the beast brought to each planet on the inner rim of the Segmentum Solar, an apocalyptic flood of alien wrath. World by world, the Imperium began to fall, drowning in innocent blood, less spilled than splattered. No subsector escaped Armageddon. No star cluster survived the beast. Wherever the black doom of attack moons appeared, life ended. The crowded worlds of the Cinta stars, the void colonies of Constantine Thule, the Skull Nebula, the Gastornis Marches, planets among the Carcassian Flux, the Quatra Sound, and Imperial strongholds on the Neo-Tavius Drift, Even the quarantined worlds of the prohibited zone and the marauder-haunted reaches of wilderness space were sacrificed to feed the beast's apparently insatiable appetite for annihilation. Billions perished in the fires of the invasion's ire. Worlds lay smashed. The people prayed for an intervention, but none came. Astra Militarum forces and planetary defenses stationed in the path of ruin did what they could, but were swiftly overrun. No reinforcements were sent. No reclamation fleet from ancient Terra was on its way. Only Death Worlds and Adeptus Astartes' homeworlds seemed to have the resilience to slow the invasion's progress. From individual planets, the beast's alien ambitions grew to the destruction of subsectors. From those, the Green Plague spread, overwhelming entire sectors of Imperial space. From prayer, the people turned to raw hope. Like the Archfiend's feuding clans, perhaps the beast's monstrosities would tire, fragment, and fall to fighting between themselves. But as the months went by in misery and slaughter, it became apparent that this beast was something else. A new breed of Xenos savage. It would not stop. It would never stop. From subsector to sector, it would lead its barbarian horde, and from there, corewards, until the entirety of Segmentum Solar belonged to the greenskin race, and ancient Terra was clutched in the beast's filthy alien claw.